Welcome to another episode of Disruptive Minds Business Podcast. I'm your host, Tevia Holst, CEO of Takoda Accounting. Today, please welcome our guest, Christina Garten, CEO and president of Christina's Complete Clean. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. We've got a couple of things in common we get to hit today and talk about that are a little different than normal conversations. So I'm always excited for that. But I like to start off with, you know, the name of the podcast is Disruptive Minds. I like to talk to other leaders that are kind of getting it done and making things happen. So first and foremost, I would love to hear about in your company, in your industry, what are you feeling like is disruptive, either things that you're doing or that you're seeing. Share that with us.
Yeah, so I am 20 years into this business. I started this when I was 22. I had just one client I cleaned for every other Friday. And it took me a really long time to get here, 20 years in the making.
Congrats.
But there's always been a corner we kind of have to look around. So like getting through, 2008 with the recession, just different hurdles throughout. The biggest one though, how we did business pre-COVID versus how we do business now is just totally different. And so the things that I'm seeing disruptively, a lot of people have started their own cleaning companies. That will happen anytime there's a recession or something like we had with the pandemic. And so as a company, to stay innovative and to stay ahead of the game, like always kind of peeking around the corner. But one of our cornerstones has been utilizing technology. So we have a platform that allows our teams to get dispatched their jobs. They don't have to come to the office. They don't have to waste time, coming to the office, getting their assignments. They can just go straight from their home right to the jobs. We also now offer online booking. A lot of other companies have already done this. And so we feel like we're playing a little bit of catch up in that regard. That's going really well. And then post-COVID, another thing is having a fractional leadership team versus having full-on staff to help support the company.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I want to know and have a little extended conversation because we haven't talked about this before on the podcast about the use of fractional. I think it's so incredibly just brilliant, honestly, because being in accounting and finance, I do a lot of forecasting for companies and planning. And the reality is, until you're really even over 5 million, getting up into 10 million, you really can't necessarily afford a full executive team and what that means to pay for that. And so it's so brilliant to utilize, amazing professionals that are out there giving a fraction of their hours available, again, at the cost you can afford. And you really are getting these bright minds that have more experience that really benefit your growth plan and your acceleration and all these things going on. So I really applaud you for finding that and taking advantage of that because, you really, my own included, we don't have a full executive team because it's just too expensive, even when you are a seven-figure company, until you're starting to get up into those higher seven figures and even eight figures. So great takeaway right off the top for our owner listeners is if you have not taken advantage of fractional leadership, fractional even outsourced work by really high level professionals that you couldn't otherwise afford, do look into that. So thank you for that. We're already getting some good nuggets. Yes. So you already knocked off one of my other questions, which was going to ask, have you guys taken advantage of, the advance in AI and software, which you guys are using that with your team? I love the idea that they don't even have to leave home to come to the office first, that you guys have that. There's so much efficiency there. And now, are they using their own vehicles or do you have vehicles under the business that you use?
It is their own vehicles. So we found the best model that works for us is when it's their vehicles, it's our supplies. We trust them. It's one of our values, you know, is trust. So we trust them to take the chemicals home. You know, we allow them to manage it. We don't want to micromanage it. And another thing with our employees that we're doing differently, we're doing pay for performance. And so their performance pays, it's paid a percentage versus hourly. And this takes away from, you know, time that they might have stopped at the gas station or stood around and talked to a coworker for a while. Now they make a percentage as long as there's no feedback. And so we're seeing where they can move faster. The faster they get the job done, essentially the higher hours, you know, dollarly hour that they make. Mm-hmm. I have people who are making like $38 an hour, my top performers, who they're fast, they're efficient, they know what they're doing. They just kind of have that natural sense of urgency. As an hourly employee, you would be penalized to do the job faster. And so we call it empowered pay. It empowers them to get the job done right the first time. And it's significant should they get feedback. If they are essentially rushing and they get feedback, then they don't get their empowered pay. They get their base pay, which is their hourly. So there's incentive there to make sure that they do it right the first time. With this model, our teams, our best performers are making anywhere between $800 to $1,000 a week take home. And that's well above a living wage. So we're on a mission to elevate lives through the empowered pay.
Oh, I'm so excited by all of that. I took so many notes. I want to touch on a couple of things there. One, so if I understand right, because really any service industry could take away this, you know, it doesn't really matter what the job is that you're doing, and we're service as well. And we focus highly, highly, highly on, you know, paying above minimum or regular wage, market wage, excuse me.
Living wage, yeah.
Yes. And also, you know, increasing culture all the time. So I love to hit those topics. So when you say that you're paying now, because my thought always goes to, we always try to balance efficiency with quality, right? Which is where the ratings come in, is don't move so fast. Like for us, submitting the financials to companies, doing the bookkeeping, whatever, don't do it so fast that the quality falls, right? How do you balance that? So the customer doesn't have to give a rating, but as long as they don't get negative feedback, is that the kicker that you're working off of?
Be the best for sustainability and or scalability as we grow. So we know we have to kind of look into a few more checks and balances. How do we really ensure that the job is getting done, you know, and less of no news is good news. But as of now, and we leave that, that feedback, what they call it, channel, we leave that really wide open. So it's really easy for them to give feedback. It's part of our culture as well that we embrace feedback. We ask for feedback. We put it in our newsletter. We want to know. And I think really it comes down to our response when we get the feedback too of, you know, it starts at the top. You know, my office manager will, you know, respond to those with thank you. Thank you for letting us know. This is a way that we can grow and improve. And we actually are transparent in the company. We use Slack for internal communication. And one of the channels is embrace the suck. And we take out the client's name, we take out the cleaning technician's name, and we just give the feedback because we embrace that we can learn from others. And if we think back to when are the times that we've learned the most, it's mm-hmm. through our mistakes.
Sure.
Or absolutely mistakes.
Yeah. So a follow-up question to that is especially in again, this could go with any service industry, but with what you guys do, you know, I've had home cleaning before. It's something, you know, I really think everyone benefits from, because especially in like a dynamic where if both are working in the household, right, it's just such a reduction to stress and potential fighting to like outsource the cleaning and have a nice clean home and relax and enjoy some off time together instead of, you know, rushing around doing the house. So I very much appreciate what you guys do. How do you balance when you're getting feedback, and just like we would in on a file, that it is fair, you know, and it should be coming in, versus maybe like their expectations are different than what they're paying for? Like, how do you discern that out of that?
Something we've definitely dealt with many times over the years. And the thing that I have found to be the best case is to go to both parties and try to just collect as much information as you can. And then from that, you know, it's really deciphering through. And I hate to say it's 50-50, but it is. I take 50% of what the client says and 50% of what the person in the home was, you know, cleaning had said, and formulate a story, you know, in between the two. But for the most part, you know, I want to, you know, allow it to be a teaching opportunity. I always learn something new for, you know, whether it's the cleaning technician, myself in the office, whatever we can do on our side, you know, the things that are in our control versus out of our control. And then for the client, you know, just going above and beyond, but also trusting my gut. I mean, I hate to say that too, but yeah, you know, it's such a strong tool. We've had clients, I remember one who said we did an awful job and this and that. And I got on the phone with her and, you know, I tried everything to resolve the issue. And she said she wasn't going to pay. And I don't know what flipped, but 20 minutes later, she paid full price and tipped. And so something I said in there was just like, you know, just it is what it is. Like, we're a company and we did the work and we can come back and, you know, just offered all the things. And sometimes, you know, there's been other cases where we've lost and we just have to write it off and we never got paid. And you're just, you know, you just have to chalk it up. So.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, continuing down this path a little bit, for you as the CEO and, you know, where you've gotten in the company and the size of your staff and everything, what is it that you are focused on day in and day out? You've mentioned, you know, maybe engaging with clients some for taking care of solutions when there's issues, but what is it that you focus on now versus what you may have in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of those examples were from earlier on, but my days typically consist of just kind of looking over the KPIs. I attend the an Elton weekly meeting with my fractional leadership team, and I approve payroll. Payroll is our biggest expense, so I always put my eyes on that. Other than that, it's really future forward thinking. I am definitely in ideation. I'm always trying to, you know, how can we make things better? And so it kind of just depends. We just launched our new website yesterday. So that's been a big project. Well, a refresh. It was 10 years old, actually.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we needed a refresh. But yeah, I get a weekly snapshot as far as KPIs. And so I just like to compare those with, you know, the weeks before. What we have, I like to look at the year to date. Things like that. So,
okay, awesome. Well, you're just leading me into all my normal questions. So we'll just keep on rolling. So with that, and KPIs, all the things, I love to do a financial facts section that maybe a listening owner might take away of something they might adopt. So what things in your financials help you determine what you need to be doing? The health of the company? Like, what is it you like to look at and use?
I'll just kind of run through my list here. So number of recurring clients for what we do, it's a lot of repeat business. That is the brilliancy of the business. So if you have a landscaping company, it's very, so your recurring clients, the customer hourly rate. So kind of what that, our billable rate, kind of what that breaks down to, as far as sales and pipeline leads that come in, how many were quoted, how many were converted, how many initial cleans did we do? How many did we retain as recurring? Our attrition rate, really low, by the way. I'm really proud of that number.
Congrats. Yes.
Our marketing spend, our gross sales for the week, how many employees do we have, full-time, part-time? How many hours that I spend cleaning or managing, which is a big fat zero. So I love that.
Yes. That's what we want to see.
It took a while. Yeah. And it took a while, too, if anyone's in that point in their business where, like, because I love to clean. I love it. It's easy. It's simple. I miss it. And beside the difference between sitting behind the computer, but I had to let go of the vine. And so that's part of that. And then as far as interviewing, how many interviews were booked? How many showed up? How many offers did we make? And the one, we also share this publicly, but excluding tips, what's the highest paid cleaner earnings this week? And we share that with, we have a different scorecard that we share with the team similarly, but every Monday. So everyone gets a peek into what we're doing.
So interesting. So I want to ask a follow-up on that for someone who might want to model, like, you know, the performance pay that you're doing. What is the outcome that you are achieving by showing that to your team? Like, what are you trying to achieve?
Showing them that, you know, what the top performer can make. And so what they can affect is whether or not they call out. That's a huge damper on their paycheck and our revenue. And so we show that as well. And then, you know, it's kudos to the top person. And if they want to be, they're like, hold on, how come they get to make that? Well, because they did 12 jobs and, you know, that's, and they had no complaints, but
they're showing up and they're doing complaints, the job.
You show up and you do the job, and you don't turn down jobs either. We have jobs that they can pick up outside, not outside, but say they're scheduled till 3. So they would need to, you know, kind of work 3 to 5 or maybe even 3 to 6, but not turning down some of those later jobs as well. As far as the pay for performance though, it's done on a percentage basis. So, I forget exactly the hours, but we'll just call it 0 to 21 hours, you're level 1, 21 to 28 hours, you're level 2, and anything above 28 hours is level 3. And it's 40, 43, and 46% of the job. So the if you're part-time, then you won't ever be even the top performer.
Yeah, sure. I love that. I am so passionate about culture and I really like what you're talking about. I think other people, other owners could use that, especially like we're talking about in service industries across industry, because it's hard to motivate and you are giving really so much opportunity for them to be empowered about how much they're working, the effort they put in, and directly see a correlation to the outcome in their pay. So I really do applaud you for that. I think that you're figuring that out. And I really don't think a lot of owners still put that effort in. They just say, you know, here's the rate and, you know, we're trading dollars for hours and like it or don't like it. And that persona doesn't really work anymore, I think, in our workspace. So again, this is just turning into so much praise. Yeah, good job.
Thank you. You're not wrong. It is a mental shift. Anyone who is thinking about it, and it's also for the employee as well, because they're used to going on interviews and they're used to, okay, what's the rate? What's the pay? What do you mean? I make a percentage. What does that mean? And we had to have several meetings for those transitioning from hourly to percentage. And you know, it was interesting. I remember having, I don't know, 15 people in the room. And I said, raise your hand if empowered pay, if you've seen a difference in your paycheck since empowered pay. And all these hands went like, and it was half the room of like the older, the more tenured people. And then the other half of like brand new people, and like half the room's hands went up and the other half's eyes were like, oh, okay, this is going to be really cool. And it's substantial. Instead of paying them anywhere between $18 to $22 an hour, we're seeing averages of $25 to $35 an hour.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Game changing. Yeah.
Yes. No, I love it. I do want to ask one quick tactical question, just because, like I said, I really believe that everybody, if they can, you know, should implement cleaning into their home specific to you and your industry. So what would you say is a kind of a two-part question? What kind of sets you apart? Your performance pay is probably the biggest, I'd imagine, answer, but to your competitors. But also, when someone's looking to use, you know, a cleaning in your industry, whether they're in your area or not, what should people be considering when they're going to let someone in their home? I mean, that's a big trust factor. So what would you say, like, make sure you're checking this out, or they have this, or, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another thing that sets us apart is our educated staff. So I am certified cleaning technician. We have our staff go through a 2-day course. It's 180 question test, quizzes them, test them on all the surfaces of the home and all the chemicals. And so it's a refresh of chemistry. It's a refresh of the pH scale. And it's arming them with the information of things like, you know, we might walk into a home or do an estimate and they say, oh, just use vinegar and water on the floor. It's fine. Well, most people don't know that vinegar is actually highly acidic, even when it's diluted. And so depending on the floor, it could be stripping away the finish of the floor over time. Maybe we clean for a couple of years and you're like, hey, my floors look awful. And so we want to make sure that our staff have the knowledge going in to keep the homes, to keep the people safe in the home, but also to make sure that, you know, they're experts in what they do as well. Anyone can clean. Okay. I will say that anyone can clean. And, you know, with the pandemic, there's a ton of mom and pop shops opening up and any two person in a van operation can clean. But having that knowledge, you know, you get in a situation where there's hard water or, you know, there's a stain and you saw on Facebook to use, you know, mayonnaise and whatever. Yeah. And now you've ruined something. And so we want them, you know, to be educated and know, like, I didn't grow up with granite countertops. I didn't, and so making sure that they're, you know, we're in really high-end homes and knowing that the client is home's going to be safe and not damaged is really important to us. So we like to go above and beyond in that regard. When you're hiring, definitely aligning expectations for what we do. We'll come in and do the deep cleaning after our clients have picked up. We do offer other services, but sometimes that's confusing. They think, a client might think it's more of the pickup and laundry and dishes. And so they don't pick up anything. And then the teams have to do all of that. And the cleaning. It's so those are two different services. If you would just want a tidying service versus a house cleaning service. And then obviously the other questions, you know, are you insured and bonded? And ask to see it. People will lie and they'll shake their heads and you say, oh yeah, we're insured, we're bonded. So I would say, you know, just an extra level of protection, ask to see it. Ask about their chemicals. If you do want more of green cleaning, making sure that that's aligned from the beginning. If you'd rather, you know, your vacuum used, ask about their vacuums, their equipment, how they clean them, how, you know, just things like that. The more you ask, the more you know. And I think a good fit too, knowing how long, if they've been in business, if it's going to be them coming or somebody else, same person, you know, flexibility, if that's important, working around your work schedules, you know, just all what all of that entails.
Oh, that's such a great checklist. Thank you. And I didn't even realize I would learn stuff because I may or may not have the last time I cleaned used a vinegar water mixture on my wood floors. So I probably should not have done that.
Oh, it depends. It could be fine. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, so, I mean, I appreciate that for sure. Like I said, I think this is a service everybody should have. So I think knowing how to get good help, because I think, you know, I mean, if you just go with anybody, the sole person, it may be fine. However, what if they ruin something in the home and they just take off and you never hear of them again? You know, I mean, that's not a scenario anybody wants to be in. So definitely with any service, with anything you're doing, check out your provider, you know, make sure that they are what they say they are and that you're going to have a long-term good relationship. Awesome. Okay. So talk to me about what are you excited about right now? Where are you going in the company? What are your plans in the, you know, next couple of years?
Oh, awesome. So we just kind of got, we have a new website, new logo. So all of that is lining up. And then with that, you know, really going forward with the empowered pay, I think we're really going to be able to impact a lot of lives with this. When people can make a really good living wage, support their family, support the community around them. So we would also like to, in the next couple of years, open up a few more branches. We are pretty much just in central Indiana. And so we want to be able to expand, maybe to Southern Indiana, maybe to Florida. So we're just trying to figure out kind of what that looks like and expansion in other markets.
Okay, I have to say, I love that you said Florida because total tangent, but we just had an ice storm here where I'm at in Virginia, like inland Virginia, and we were out of power for days and the house was freezing, had a generator, but you know, we don't run the heater with it. Anyway, we took off. We were like, oh, power's not going to be on for a few more days. I was like, I'm out. And I'm going to Florida. And so we went, we heated up, and then I was there with my partner and I was like, listen, we need to create a scenario where we're in Florida during the winter more. Like, this is where we need to go.
I need a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I mean, another unintentional takeaway is, you know, make the business work for your life. That's the point of being the owner. You want to be in Florida in the winter, find some conferences, make a satellite office. Like, these are good things to do. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you for your vote of confidence. I love that.
Yeah, we'll go down there together. I'm definitely going to be in the Orlando area because I would like to, if they sold condos in Universal, I would definitely buy one specifically in Harry Potter world.
That's crazy you say that. My partner is in Orlando half the year. He's a real estate, a realtor down there. And then
he can find us our locations.
Yeah. Right.
Very useful. I love it. Okay. So just a couple more things here and then we'll wrap it up for our listeners. So let me see, what do I want to ask next? Okay. So where you're at in your company, is there a piece of, like a suggestion, somebody listening that's not up over seven-figure mark yet, what did you learn along the way that maybe something you wish you would have had access to sooner that helped you that maybe they can implement to help them get there faster? Is there anything like that?
Yeah, I'll immediately go to, in 2010, my business partner at the time, no longer, not because she died, she quit. But she, we set the goal to grow $1 million company in 2010. I think we were maybe at 250. It took us 8 years to do that. So we hit that in 2018 for the first time.
Congrats.
And thank you. But after in 2020, I joined EO and I learned the EO has an EOA program. It stands for EO Accelerator. And I wish I had known about Accelerator. It takes you through Vern Hardinge's scaling up, cash, strategy, execution, and people. And you know, you spend all day just working on your business for quarterly days, and you spend all day working on your business. And having been to those classes, above $1 million, dynamite, absolutely incredibly valuable. And another one too, and it might be in your local city or state, is the SBA has an emerging leaders course. I think it's called Thrive now. Mm-hmm. Also, those are for businesses above 250. And I think you have to have at least one employee. That program helped me to get really clear. One is where I got my tagline, giving people their Saturdays back for the last 20 years. But also I got crystal clear about my target market. And walked away with a 3-year growth plan that helped. And that was in 2017. Yeah. And then the next year was when we hit $1 million. So either one of those programs, highly recommend. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So takeaway there, guys, is use your local resources, get access. There are business programs. I obviously love that you said that. I'm also an EO member. That stands for Entrepreneurs Organization. Look it up. It's a global organization. There's local and virtual chapters that you can be a part of. I got super lucky. I actually started at our local Chamber of Commerce and went to a mentor program. The mentor was launching EOA in our area, which is that minimum of 250,000. I wasn't even there yet. So that was like my first bar is like, I'm running to that. I know this program's going to be useful. Spent 2 years in EOA having all that education. We found Culture Index. We found all the things that make all the difference of your company. And then in 2 years switched over to where I'm now, which is EO, which is just a game changer. So one more I would add to the SBA resources is there is an office in most areas called SBDC, which is the Small Business Development Center, and they actually hire professionals from different industries that are like top of their market, and provide coaching and mentoring absolutely free to any business of any size. Look them up in your area. I still use mine, made a huge difference. I made the mistake one year of asking her after being an EOA, you know, should I pay for one of these really expensive coaches that everybody seems to think they need? And she looked at me dumbfounded and she was like, that's me. And I was like, oh, you're totally right. I have this for free. We're good. So the very good tips, awesome takeaways. Last question on the way out, and I'll let you get to your day, is what do you do to recharge? What do you do to make sure that you are out there relaxing so that you can come back fully charged for your company?
Oh, man. I do this so well. Okay. It's a long list.
Give it to me.
I take baths. I love time in nature, going outside. I dance every day. That's my minimum. Like, instead of trying to do like the maximum, what's my minimum that I put on for 3 songs and just move my body, sometimes faster, sometimes slower. I dance every day. Little getaways. I'm known for about once a quarter getting away, doing just like a long weekend getaway at the very least. So, okay. I also ride a motorcycle, into photography. I love travel planning as well. So I've just started to get into that. I do all kinds of things.
Oh, there's so many good takeaways there. It's so funny because so many owners, you know, haven't figured out that life balance to do that. And so it's a great example to see one that's getting it done and actually leaning into that. Because if you're not doing those things, you 100% are not fully there for your company. You must recharge. So thank you for all those tips, Christina. And we'll wrap it there. Thank you, listeners, for being here again today. I hope you got lots of good takeaways. I'm Tevia. Thank you for listening. We had Christina Garten with us from Christina's Complete Clean.
Thank you.